chance for Sean Mackey to strike!
It's Calvin Miller against McGowan. Miller sends it in!
It's Miller time, baby! Champions again! Falkirk have broken through the glass ceiling! After 15 years in the wilderness, Falkirk Football Club has once again a Premiership club!
This is Falkirk Daft.
With Behind the Wall, we're navy blue, are you?
Hello and welcome to Falkirk Daft. It's a weird, weird week and we are here the day after the Motherwell game, but you're going to hear this podcast in two parts. First part is just me and Ross talking about the game last night. We're recording currently just after 8 o'clock on Thursday morning. And then you're going to hear another part where it's just me talking to Gavin Pearson from Clyde One previewing the Hibs game. So there's a two-parter this week, a bit strange, but we're here to talk Falkirk. And I'm joined, as ever, by the ginger god of pod himself. It is the one-man band in the main stand. It's Ross Wayne.
Good morning, buddy. I think this is the earliest we have ever done a podcast.
Honestly, I've been up, walked the dog, got the kids out the door, made school lunches, and it's only 8:15, and this is the first coffee of the day. Cheers.
Yeah, successful. Cheers, buddy. Cheers, successful wee morning. I'm the same. Kids all sorted, lunches sorted, and yeah, this is normally my day off, but I'm working a little bit later.
Oh,
so,
son.
I know,
son.
I know. Son. The violins are playing. But yeah, do you know what I've also done this morning? I've watched a chunk of the game, like, back again.
So, I watched the highlights last night when I got on, but really, I mean, the highlights were really short, let's face it. There wasn't many chances in the game. But yeah, I watched back the highlights just when I got in last night with a wee dram, because it was Whiskey Wednesday, which is copyrighted to John McAnally. Every Wednesday, a wee dram and just watching a bit of telly, so I had a wee whiskey last night.
Nice. I was shattered when I got in last night. It was such a long day yesterday between work, and then we were obviously hosting the lounge, and it was busy last night. We had 100 people in the lounge, which is pretty much the lounge full. But it was a really good night. Even, listen, it was a big point. It could be a massive point for us as well.
Right, I mean, let's get into it then. Let's get straight into the game. Nae messing about. What was everybody's thoughts when the team sheet came out yesterday? Because I kind of got a wee hint that there was going to be changes. I didn't expect 5 changes and the formation change. And John McGuinn, for the first time in, 3 years, lining up without any wingers.
Yeah. It was weird. So for those that have mentioned this before, we get the team lines through 10, 15 minutes before they go up on socials, just so we can inform the people in the lounge. And we both got the message going, what's happening here? And then obviously, as when the club did put the message out on social media, there was lots of comments like, post the real team, what's happening, John? What are you doing, John? However, having watched his post-match interview now, and we spoke to Dylan Tate and Alfie in the lounge after the game, it was a pre-made plan of attack to nullify the strength of Motherwell through the middle, more than anything. And they are right. See, when you look at Motherwell, they don't play the same as us. They do have fast players. They have fast wingers. But they do try and dominate the midfield and push forward. They didn't do that last night.
So that's the thing, that it was like either going to be a tactical masterclass from John McGuinn or it was going to be an absolute suicide squad. He almost pulled it off. So we're going to give it tactical masterclass. I mean, when you looked at the team and we were like, everyone's going, how did they line up here? But it was really weird. It was like, because you were saying, like, Motherwell play a lot down the middle and get the ball down the middle. So he tried to nullify that, because we saw that in the first game against them. So it was weird, because it was like, and then there was weirdness within the weirdness. So we went for, what looked like a 4-2-2-2. But then you look, all right, okay, so there's the defence. You've got Philippe Lisa. We knew Keelan Adams was injured, so we thought, oh, well, we'll fill up Lisa. We'll switch over to the right. Hendo and Connor will play in the middle. Oh, no, we put Connor out on the right and Philippe Lisa at the centre half. I don't know why. I'd love to sit down, John, and get his thoughts on this whole thing. And then he's got four midfield central midfielders starting in Tait, Cartwright, Finn Yeats out of absolutely nowhere. We're talking about Finn Yeats in the last podcast.
Which was spooky, which was very
I don't know
spooky.
if John's listened to the podcast and went, oh yeah, Finn, I forgot I've got him to use. But then, and you've got Brad Spencer, so you're going, right, okay, so I suspect Cartwright and Yeats will kind of sit and Brad Spencer and Tait will have be in front of them, but oh no, it was like the other way around. And then Alfie and Trey up front out of nowhere. Mental.
It was a very, very surreal evening. And as I say, like I think back to when the team first came through, you and I just look at each other going, no, this isn't what's happening tonight. Awesome. But I know you'd bumped into someone, we won't say his name, but you'd bumped into someone who had suggested that there was going to be some very real changes in the squad for the game. But listen, it's we'll talk about the chances we did have in a minute. But as you said, it nearly worked. In fact, listen, it didn't nearly work. It did work because we did nullify Motherwell. We ran them ragged for a long period of the game. And then as we spoke to Dylan and Alfie in the lounge, the subs that were coming on were very tactical. They were very timed. And it was to go and potentially run at a very, very tired Motherwell backline. And we just couldn't kind of create enough to get the ball in the net.
Yeah, one defeat in nine. I guess that was the that's huge. I mean, one defeat in nine in the Premiership.
Three clean sheets on the bounce as well.
So that's the kind of the numbers that we're looking at here. But, I mean, where do you start with it? We talked about it in Masterclass tactically. Because Motherwell, I mean, the Lanarkshire Galacticos, is like, everyone's raving about them, you know. It's like the second coming of Brazil. And he completely nullifies what they do good, well, yeah. In my opinion, by doing that tactical switch, you know. And I kept making this comparison. It was like, you're a movie guy, Ross, aren't you? You're not a music guy.
Yeah.
No, you've seen Rocky, yeah?
100%, yes.
So, you know, Rocky, he's facing Apollo and Mickey tells him, right, go with the right, and then he switches to a stronger left. He goes, right, and then he goes, hit him with the southpaw, you know. And that was what it was like in the 60 minutes. It was like rope-a-dope, like luring them in, you know, getting them in. And then it was like that, right. And I called it. I said to you, I bet you Wilson, Williams and Miller will come on in the 60 minutes. I didn't expect Ethan Ross to come up. And I didn't expect Kyle Wilson to be playing up front either. But
no, that was not on my...
It was that kind of mad. No one could have predicted. John was like... I think John was just steaming and just went, fuck it. Let's do this. And McGinn and Smith like, what? It's like, nah, I'll be fine, boys. I'll be fine. It's all right.
I tell you one thing, though, and I know I alluded to it in the post-match interview. We didn't have long, because obviously we played Rangers Sunday. Monday would have been a pretty much a recovery session for most of the starting 11, plus the subs who got on. So the players who trained on Monday would have been the ones who weren't involved. So actually, a few of the ones who played last night, so Trey, Leon, Finn, that type of thing, right? Tuesday would have been really the only training day, tactical day that we had, because they wouldn't have done any training on Wednesday. Granted, I suppose on Wednesday, he may have had them in earlier to talk about the plan of attack.
You're talking about this madness. So it's like Stephen Presley, remember the weekend there, had a dream and that's how he picked his starting lineup. I think John was on LSD or something like that when he's had a dream there. Like, oh, look, let's stick Trey up there and we'll go to him. You know, but listen, unless he knows better than any of us. And
absolutely,
it's like, it almost, we'd be sitting here saying, that was genius, absolute genius. But listen, as I say, a point, you know, against the Lanarkshire Galacticos,
it's not huge.
Bad. It's not bad. And looking around the results, everyone's kind of stayed the same.
It has, yeah, very much so. Obviously, there was a couple of late goals last night. St Mirren getting a draw up at Pittodrie. Rangers getting a very late equaliser against Dundee United. Kelly obviously getting a point off his Hearts was a bit of a shock. But listen, we are in the same position as we were the other day when we recorded. So if we win on Saturday, and certain other results, and it's not many results we're looking at, happen, we could be sitting third of the Scottish Premiership on Saturday night.
Yeah. Let's talk to the game. Best chance, almost. We almost got off the flyer, actually. Alfie had the best chance of the game as he kind of flashed it across, bundled forward. He caused all sorts of problems to Motherwell, and
He did.
certainly in that first half last night. He was, we saw it picked up from where he left off at Ibrox, really. We just, we know Alfie. We all dream of a team of Aggie-mans. He was up in the lounge afterwards. I had to ask. I was like, "Alfie, can you play goalie?" "Yeah, I'll play where the goalie wants. The gaffer wants me. Can you play right back?" "Yes." "I play centre half." "Yeah." You can see where that was going. So, but no, he was a real threat, a real trouble point for Motherwell, and he almost got away to a flyer. I mean, he everything chance wise was coming through Alfie. The wee ball from Brad Spencer down the side.
Oh, how good was that ball? See, when you, I didn't appreciate it at the time just because of where we sit, but actually, when you watch it back, like the perfect timed pass by Brad, who I thought was fantastic again, and then Alfie just so unlucky, with the shot hitting the side netting.
I mean, it was fairly. I mean, that first half is just. I would say it was relatively even. Motherwell didn't create many chances in that first half. I mean, they hit the post, in fairness, but like Scott Bain had it. It was at his near post, and he had
He
it
was
covered.
covered. He was covered.
Absolutely covered, but. Aye, it was again. There was nothing much to write home about, really, in the first half, chances wise. It was a bit like Rangers in the fact that I thought were a bit wasteful in that final third, and I thought the same actually when the troops got the bugle out and all the troops came on as well, in the 60 minutes. I thought we were a bit lackluster in that final third, and we're just decision making and just a wee bit off with our possession in that final third again. Like we were a wee bit of Rangers, but listen, again, it's a point. I mean, it was brilliant save from Scott Bain, from Phil Lisa, just about scoring their own goal.
Yeah, well, listen, I didn't know much about it. It was obviously all came very, very quick to him. But you're right, Scott Bain got down really well. Bit of chatter last night that his wife's expecting literally any moment. So we do wonder if it will be Scott in goals on Saturday, or could it be Nicky? With this bit of, and I believe there's a couple of the players not heading over to Ireland for the team do just with baby's due. So Scott Bain, Brad Spencer, the boys are staying back to support their partners, obviously.
Yeah,
So
Mrs. Bain, keep your legs crossed. I mean, I don't know, because he won't play. If the baby comes in the next couple of days, he's not going to play Saturday. Absolutely no chance. So
no, you
we're
wouldn't have
just
thought so.
hoping, like, just keep it, no curries, no curries for Mrs.
No.
Bain. In saying that, though, we know we've got a brilliant pair of hands and Nicky Hogarth
We
to come
do.
in.
We're
Come
set.
in.
We're absolutely set. So Nicky would be well, listen, we know what Nicky can do. He
If
would be
Nicky can
absolutely
come in
flying
for
next to the
paternity cover, we're all right. We're absolutely in safe hands
paternity cover.
for coming in, Scott. But you would rather see him play because he has been, really, really good. And I keep
Well,
talking about.
you don't want to be without anyone, really. And I know we've been missing Keelan last night. We've not heard how short term or long term he may be. The fact that we've not heard, maybe he's fine. He might play on Saturday. He might be in the squad again on Saturday. So you never know. We heard recently that Cole and Aidan have rejoined training as well. I think John did say there's no chance of them playing either of the games this week. But obviously, in the games in the next few weeks, there is a chance that the two of them could be back in the squad. So everybody back is hugely helpful. But you're right. It's listen, Scott Bain again. He did what was asked of him last night, and he was pretty comfortable in the most. He didn't have obviously much to do.
And I mean, you talked about Keelan Azzaz. The fullbacks, I thought, ran their arses off last night because they were forced into that kind of wing back role. Leon McCann and Conor Allan, I have no idea how they kept played for 90 minutes because I thought they were both just ran ragged and done brilliantly in nullifying Motherwell's threat down the wings as well. I thought they were both excellent. I mean, Conor Allan is turning into some player, he really is. I mean, he's probably not. Is in getting forward, he's probably not as good as Keelan, but defensively, I think he's
Oh,
absolutely
it's so strong.
he's so strong and excellent. And I thought Lisa actually in amongst in with Hendo as well was brilliant at centre half.
Yeah.
as well. You know, that boy, Jesus. We probably, you know, if Santa wants to bring me anything this year, can you bring me Philip Lisa and a permanent deal? I think he's sensational. I mean, Williams and Wilson, right? Great. I think they're really, really good. But for me, he's turned out the absolute pick of the bunch of the boys that have come in because, you know, I'm a sucker for a defender. I love watching. And there was that big tackle that he made, Sean Maskey-esque in the last kind of 5 minutes as well. I think he's an absolute sensational footballer. And if Santa is listening, please, I've got Philip Lisa on my list, so that'd be great if you could sort that out, big man.
Somewhere, Tom Lang is destroying his John McAnally
No,
poster.
listen, don't, whoa, he's no Tom Lang, don't get me, Jesus, Ross, don't get me wrong, he's no Tom Lang.
I'm sitting ripping the John McAnally poster here.
He's not to mind, but no, seriously, really, really good footballer. But yeah, I mean, all over the park. I thought Henry Cartwright was, I right watching that boy play again for the reasons that he just puts himself about. He wins balls, he batters boys off the balls. I think, I thought, by the way, Finn Yeats, shout out to Finn Yeats, from absolutely out of the cold.
Yeah.
Being forced in again, the energy that Finn brings, and we know that the energy that Finn brings to a side, I thought it was great as well. He was all over that park.
So, I absolutely totally agree. Oh, I know he was, I didn't expect him to play the 90, and he obviously didn't, right? But for that first half, especially, he covered every blade of grass. He was all over the place. The energy he had, as you said, sticking, getting stuck in, getting tackles in. Just honestly, I'm so chuffed for him. We're massive fans of Finn. We've said it since he signed, and I know he's not played a lot of football at all recently, right? But you can tell he's obviously kept himself where he needs to be physically, and he didn't let anybody down last night.
Yeah, we've got to talk about Brad Spencer's effort. Audacious as fuck. Like, honestly,
Oh
if
my
that had
God.
went in, they'll see the way he hit it. This is the difference between playing seven-a-sides on a Monday night and professional footballers. The way he hit that ball,
Aye.
like, we were behind it and like, oh my God, that could be in. And it just, you see up back on the highlights and it just goes
It
wide.
wasn't far, wasn't
Wasn't
far. And
far away at all.
it was almost like he hit it with not his heel, but like the back end of his inset, of his instep. And just to get that pace, power and the direction on it. And I tell you one thing, the keeper does have an error in him, because we've seen it before. He's forever out his box, as we know. He's a bit like the Kelly keeper. A bit like us, he obviously plays out for the back, which is absolutely fine, but I don't think he's as competent as Scott Bain at finding a man. And there was moments last night where he nearly cocked up. So tremendous effort from Brad. And at that if that had went in, the roof would have just went off.
I mean, Ethan Williams had a couple of pot shots that goes nothing to write home about, and then, you know, a chance for Brad Spence at the end, but he just leaned back and it went flying over the bar. You know, it was just like, keep it low, and, you know, there was a chance. 'Cause I thought this is the kind of game we're going to snatch it right to the death here, and it'll just be an absolute masterclass from McGuinn, but it wasn't to be. But it was a point on the board, and like I say, I don't think, you know, for all the talk up Motherwell have had in every media outlet, every pundit's been raving about their rotations, the way they play. I think we pretty much nullified that threat from
No,
the
we didn't.
field. And like, listen, that's us, you know, 4 points off of them this season. So if they're the kind of bar that everyone's raving about, we're doing all right.
Absolutely. No, we are very much doing all right, and we've got ourselves in a really strong position. And I'll probably sound like John McGlynn here. It is only a position now. We've not won anything. We've not
No.
done anything yet.
Well, hold on a
However,
minute. Hold on a minute. You're talking about Europe and booking the Wayne plane.
but we're not there yet.
Oh, for
But
God's
we're heading in that direction.
sake.
We've got our foot in the travel agents. That's what
Well,
we've done. But see, listening to we had obviously Dylan, and we had Alfie, as you said, in the lounge last night as well, post match. And they're up for Hibs already. They're looking at it. It'll be a different Falkirk team. It'll be a different Falkirk way of working, because
I don't know. I think Jim will have another. John will have another fever dream, and we'll end up with bloody Alfie playing in goals.
fever dream because of the fever tree. No, listen, I'm looking forward to it. There's going to be nearly 2,000 Falkirk fans in that away end. It's pretty much sold out. I think there's like 100 odd tickets left. They'll go. And yeah, just really looking forward to it. We've got a big 7 days coming up with the two Edinburgh teams, one away, one at home. Hearts are off the boil. To a degree, they're still picking up points, obviously. But they're not doing what they were doing before. So maybe it's the best time to play them. Maybe bringing this game forward. They probably thought about it as 3 points on the board. And listen, it might end up being 3 points on the board for them, but you never know. You never know.
No, I...
And it was brilliant to see again. We always give her a shout out, Sarah Scott and Jim in the lounge last night as well. And they're 20 junior Bairns away for 500.
Come
So
on.
if you're listening to this and you've got a wee one, doesn't matter how young they are, please get them signed up. 500 Bairns fans in the junior Bairns would be phenomenal. And if you're a player listening to this as well, there's two new babies coming. Get them signed up as well. How cool would that
Scott
be?
Byrne. Scott Byrne, you know,
Scott
is
Bairn, there you go. I like it.
Scott Byrne, get your Byrne signed up. If you've got a kid that I've not seen, I've not I want to sign up my daughter. Do you know what? I'm going to sign up my daughter, so get to 19, because what age do you need to be junior Byrnes now?
I think 14 might be the cutoff. I could be wrong.
If Ailey don't listen to this podcast, but Santa might be bringing you a Junior Bairns membership, so we can get up to help Sarah get up to that last 20 sign up.
Absolutely.
So get
Absolutely.
signed up. Another person that I've listened, we're talking about people that were in the lounge last night. It was, by the way, it was for older people listening to this podcast. Me and Ross are just young things. But the 86 promotion side was in the lounge last night. About half of them were in there last night. So Andy Nicol, John McCormack, Peter Silky Hairston, Brian Martin was there. Obviously played for both Falkirk and Motherwell. I'm trying to think who else was
And
there.
Brian Purdy.
Geordie Watson, Brian Purdy. And they made the point, and it was Brian, I think, he said they were the first Falkirk side to win promotion to the top flight. And they feel a bit overlooked, John McCormack as well. But they feel a bit overlooked, and I was like, fair, you know what, you're right. Yeah, because they didn't win, they went up
Aye.
via the second. Like, but they were the first Falkirk side to win promotion. They get overlooked in history. So shout out to all the boys that were in the lounge last night, and they were great. Another couple, Stevie Kirk was there last night. Obviously played Motherwell hero, as is Martin Corrigan, who was there as well. And we spoke to two guys that were there. We spoke to Joe McLaughlin, who obviously at the Bears for 4 years won the championship as captain. The good doctor Kenny Duker were
What's that?
both in the house, so it was good to speak to Kenny, who's a local lad and a Falkirk supporter as well. So
It was great to speak to the pair of them. Joe, I think, could have talked all night.
oh,
And that's not
definitely
a
we need
bad
to
thing.
get Joe for the Falkirk Daft
Falkirk
Live.
Daft.
He's got stories to tell, that boy.
He does. He was tremendous. And he really loved his time at the club. You could really tell that. You're right though, some of the stories he'll have about Yogi, about Jim Jeffries, Billy Brown, it'll be phenomenal. So yeah, we'll need to get a hold of Joe. Kenny, do you know what? Kenny's a local guy who came through the ranks at Brockville, played for his local team, played for his team, went away. Obviously, he did have had a really, really good career, almost like as in a lot of goals scored. And then he's come back to Falkirk towards the end of his career as well. So he's played at both stadiums, which not many players can actually say, really.
That's true. That's true. We just have to round up and say who's your Falkirk Daft rated and who's your Falkirk Dafty of the week, Ross.
You know, rated tough because there was so many like we've rounded off at least eight players who did really well last night. But I'm going to give it. I've been to and fro between Brad Spencer and this other person. I'm going to give it to the other person because he's been out in the cold and he came on and he did really well. I'm going to say Finn Yates last night.
Oh, that's a decent shout. That is a decent shout. I'm torn. I'm torn. Lisa, I thought, was excellent again last night. But do you know what? I thought Conor Allen was all over the place. But yeah, I think Finn Yates deserves it for coming out of the cold
Out of
straight in
nowhere.
for his Premiership debut against Motherwell in a very unknown position. So Finn Yates, well done, sir. You are Falkirk Daft rated. Falkirk Dafty, did we give it to McGuinn just for being a mad bastard?
Good days. What a pair of balls on him.
What a pair of balls on him, honestly. Loved it, absolutely loved it. But that's why he's the gaffer. We're just sitting here talking about the
He's the reason,
football.
John. He's the
he
reason.
Is the reason. But I'm going to give Falkirk Dafty just because he's a mad bastard for putting those tactics out to John McGlynn this week, unless you've got anyone else.
No, that's absolutely fine, baby.
Brilliant. Love it. Love it. Absolutely brilliant. There you go. So that is Falkirk Daft rated and Falkirk Dafty. And now, let's go back a day, and I caught up with Gavin Pearson to preview Hibs.
This is Falkirk Daft.
With Behind the Wall and the Falkirk football fans in training.
It is Falkirk Daft. That is the big preview show, and this weekend's opponents are the Hibs as we head to Easter Road. And I'm yet again joined by my friend, my colleague, the voice of Radio Clyde 1 and Radio Clyde as a whole, because he's been there since it was called Radio Clyde. It's Gavin Pearson.
I started at Clyde when Brockville was still in existence.
Jesus. That's
a generation ago now, isn't it?
You're showing your age there. You're showing your age there, Gav. How have you been since we last spoke? How have the Hibs been getting on? Obviously, we spoke since. Obviously, the last time we met, it was a draw after you guys went 2-0 up and then Hibs it. And you were straight on the message to me going, ha-ha, 2-0. And then I said, well, wait your time there, Gavin. there's a lot to go in a football match.
I think if you want to tell the truth, I did say we're 2-0 up, but there's every chance you'll come back.
Now,
we did have form for that going into the game, and we've demonstrated it against Livingston as well recently, with a 2-goal lead and giving that up too. So it's a little frustrating. You do look at the league table, and I know that we can all do that. Every club can do a, what if we'd done this, this and this? But if we'd held on to Leeds, what would we be second, wouldn't we? I think we'd be pretty healthy. I mean, we've probably dropped about 8 points in draws where we've been leading. It's a better problem than we've had before, where we couldn't even get a win or a draw and going long periods losing. So, I mean, it's pretty decent. It's a very tight, exciting league, and it's nice to be in the mix at the top of it. So, yeah, I've just got to be grateful for those for being there.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the frustration from the Hibs supporters, because when you look at the league position of Hibs currently, before we're recording this on a Wednesday before we go into the midweek fixtures, but you're 21 points, sitting just a point above Falkirk at the moment. But I guess the big grumblings from the Hibs supporters is the fact that Hearts are sitting there 31 points at the top of the league. And that's what's kind of, I've heard there's been a lot of murmurings and grumblings, even some booing at Easter Road. Do you think that plays into that, the fact that Hearts are top of the league?
It's a funny one. I think there are diehard Hibs fans who are finding this painful to see Hearts at the top of the table and are already having sleepless nights about the possibility of it actually happening. And I guess it is possible because Rangers and Celtic are vulnerable. This is the weakest. I think.
You say vulnerable, I say shite.
Yeah, okay. I forget that we're on something where you can say that. Fine. I was watching Emily Maitlis doing a podcast yesterday, and she was dropping F-bombs like you wouldn't believe.
Oh,
and it's so bizarre,
really?
Isn't it? Yeah.
Maitlis.
I know. She was overdoing it. I use it when it really means something.
She dropped the C-bomb.
She didn't drop the C-bomb. I think that's probably going too far. I'll tell you when I dropped the F-bomb, by the way. Martin Boyle going on his right foot at Fir Park last week when he had an open goal.
Oh,
and
could
have buried it with his left. I was going crazy at that point.
That's that game. What did you make of Askew's comments on basically the fact they targeted Grant Hanley and him being on the ball?
I know. That's great tactics. You got to give them some credit for that. And obviously it worked. It paid off because he was rumbled and he didn't even last. And I think he was unlucky for the handball. I think he probably didn't do what most modern players are doing now, and that's getting the hands right behind the back. The gentlemanly stance there in the box is what you have to do now. And he didn't do it. And although the hand wasn't miles away from the body, it was far enough away for that. And I knew it. And if that had been us attacking and hoping for a penalty as a result of that, I would have been wanting it. I would have been expecting it. So can't deny the fact that in the rules are rules now, that was a penalty. But in terms of the red card, the straight red card, wasn't a lot of contact, was there?
No, there wasn't. I mean, what have you made? Who, since we last spoke, Gavin, have you come a wee bit off the boil? Has, you know, Kieran Bowie obviously has kind of fallen away in terms of form, but
who's been the kind of boo boy and who's come out of nowhere this week? Because I think Cadden's been getting a bit of stick, hasn't he?
Which one?
I think Nicky specifically. Or Nicky, I think Chris was getting stick beforehand, yeah. But I think Nicky's getting stick as well.
I think Nicky's definitely not the player he was this time last year for a variety of reasons. I mean, he's been injured. He's been coming back from injury. I think he's still maybe, he's perhaps not completely match fit. I think what's been really noticeable, and this is actually more of a compliment to Nicky in a sense, because Nicky was delivering incredible crosses. I mean, it seems to be a problem with the modern game now, John. We saw it with Scotland and Gannon Doak finally managing to put an absolute belter of a cross in on his left peg, but he was struggling up to that point in the Greece game, for example, to beat the first man. And I think I've seen that with both Caddens, that they were actually struggling to get the ball beyond the first man from the wings, and Nicky Cadden was about the only one that was consistently putting the ball in a sixpence, yeah, and dropping it into the danger areas and the crosses. You think about the goal against Hearts, which he gave to, you know, Dwight Gayle, just landed it perfectly for him. And I don't think his accuracy with crossing has been the same as it was. And I think for that sense, it's hard to be critical because he was exceptional, and he's maybe just dropped a couple of notches in terms of that delivery. But it's probably down to recovery from whatever has been causing him to be on the sidelines at times earlier in the season, and it's just taken a bit longer to get back in his stride. I still think it's exciting to see him in the starting lineup. There's always that feeling that he can produce a little bit of magic. He has that ability. You've not seen him taking a free kick for a while. I think McGrath fancies that every time that's in shooting distance. I just remember that absolute peach of a free kick he took against Aberdeen a year ago. I mean, it's a year since we hit that sliding doors moment, remember, when David Gray looked like he was probably going to be out of a job, and that late goal from Rocky that kept him in the job, and then they went on that fantastic unbeaten run. I think he's still exciting. There's still always this hope. I think there are a number of players in that Hibs team at the moment who are capable. I think the football they seem to play against Livingston in that 4-0 victory in October was wonderful to watch. They were pretty much buzzing against Dundee a couple of weeks ago. And to a certain, if you saw the game against Celtic, they looked hungry in the first 10, 15 minutes. They really did look good. And what was really noticeable was the players were wanting the ball. They were making, I had not seen this all season, to be honest. The first 10 minutes against Celtic, it looked like they all wanted to be involved. They were all hungry. They were up for it, and it was an error at the back that let Celtic back into the game, because Hibs were looking like the team that were going to score first, and a little bit of carelessness. And again, I think the last time we spoke, it was Jordan that had the gloves at the time. He's lost his place to Salinger, and now we're just wondering who it might be that will be wearing the gloves come Saturday against you guys, because Salinger's made one mistake. It's whether or not it's a big enough mistake for Jordan Smith to be allowed back in. We'll wait and see. But it wasn't. It was a frustrating mistake, because it did let Celtic back into the game, and when it's we've seen it before so many times. Whereas it looks like you're pretty happy when it comes to the glove man. You happy with Scott Bain?
Scott Bain's been great, and rumours this week that a lot of Cobs are now starting to look at him, which is not surprising considering his form, and, you know, and the fact that he's potentially going to be on that plane going to the World Cup. Fingers crossed if he keeps it going. You know, you mentioned the form of, and you go back to that game against Aberdeen last season, Gavin. You've got to bear in mind, and I guess for Hibs supporters, is this the first time in a year you've lost back-to-back consecutive games? Obviously, Motherwell in the form they are at the moment, and then Celtic as well. You know, it was two tough games, but so you'll be looking, I guess, to bounce back against Falkirk, and certainly the support will be looking for that, because three games, the murmurings start again, don't they?
Yeah, Motherwell are. We expected them to be good. We'd heard the chat that they were, and they didn't.
Galacticos, as they're now being renamed.
But they looked stylish as well, didn't they?
Yeah.
There's a little bit of flair about them as well. That was the difference. This is they've not looked that way in a very long time. And I think I don't know whether there was a lack of expectation of that. The players went on, felt that it might have been a little bit easier. I don't know, but they were outplayed. Make no mistake, they were outplayed on Tuesday in that game last week. That's why I was happy, very happy to see the hunger and the energy that was demonstrated in the first 10 minutes against Celtic. I don't think Celtic were particularly great. Hibs got back into the game, had chances, had it not been for your old pal Casper, a couple of good saves. I think Hibs could have been. I think Hibs are worthy of a point, but I get, by the way, against Celtic, I think they were most definitely. Celtic scored two goals, didn't have a single shot on target after that.
You fancy yourselves against Falkirk then? Do you think you've got enough?
I can't say that at the moment because it's one of those things that I think I spoke about last time, and it continues, is that a team like Falkirk, for some reason, are find the surroundings at Easter Road inspirational. I've watched Falkirk sides through the decades come to Easter Road. I'll tell you the way it is now. It's a beautiful arena. It's a great place, and it's I think sometimes the way it looks and the way it feels, it's a great surface as well to play on. I think it can almost have that knock on effect of inspiring visiting teams of Falkirk's type. We've struggled against the Ross Counties, the St Mirrens, the Livingstons. I was pleased to see us beat St Mirren, beat Livingston 4-0 recently, because Livingston have been an absolute pain at Easter Road, and taking care of games at Easter Road has been a real challenge for Hibs. Coming up against those difficult teams, those tricky teams, because it's an arena that seems to inspire visitors more than ourselves. This I think this is a really important game for Hibs to win, not just because it will be a third defeat on the bounce or a third game without a win if they don't get the victory and get the 3 points, but I think it's the nature of the team that we're playing. It's the expectation that on paper, and if you want to be a third place team or even second, if there's an option for that to happen, and let's face it, there is this season, there is potential for that to happen, then you really need to be winning your no disrespect to you and all the fans of Falkirk Daft, but
got many of those.
A team like Hibs should be beating Falkirk at home for their own ambitions.
You should be saying that about Rangers as well, and Aberdeen, who we've went to Ibrox and went to Pittodrie, got 3 points at Pittodrie, got 3 points at Fir Park as well. So that's the thing about Falkirk, is that we've surprised a lot of people, but I don't know if the cat's out of the bag now. We will wait and see what happens at Easter Road. You know, we're recording this on a Wednesday. As I say, Falkirk, depending on the result tonight, let's just say we get 3 points tonight. That's very optimistic. 23 points, and then the chance to then against Hibs, depending on what happens in the other games tonight, to go to 26 points and into third place, which would be mental if that happens. But yeah, it's the kind of season we're having, which has been great. And I've said there's no better support. There's no better time or no better club in Scotland to support at the moment than Falkirk, because it's just been a whirlwind 2.5 seasons.
And you'll bring numbers, I think, to Easter Road as well. It's a popular place for Falkirk fans to come. I've seen it through the years, and they do make noise. I think this is what you know. My message to Hibs fans is that, and I'll be there too. And it's really got to be patience there. Definitely got to be patient with a team like Falkirk, because the fans are showing frustration in the early stage, and it's difficult. Right? Honestly, you just cannot get that. You'll know it in football fans, right? They won't sit there and go, right, let's just keep calm. They'll always respond. They'll always be, if they're not happy, they'll make sure that the players know it. And that's just by the by. But if ever we needed to be patient, I think it would be Saturday. I think it's important to be patient. Let hopefully Hibs settle into it. And, you know, the players that Hibs have on paper should be able to deliver. Maybe at the moment there's a bit of an uncertainty about the back three, and who it's been rotated quite a lot in the last few months, obviously, with us Hanley being suspended. Rocky, who was a regular during that fantastic unbeaten run, has found himself warming the bench a few times. O'Hora was a player that was maybe just looking like he was struggling last season, when has played this season has been really good. He was fantastic against Livingston, and captained the side against Livingston. We've also got Joe Newell back in the side. It was nice to see him in terms of a great part of the squad, and you know, the struggles that it's been a year since he's been playing regularly, and it's just so nice to see a player getting back on the field and doing what he wants to do, having had all those challenges injury wise. So that was nice to see him involved at the weekend.
Talking, you know, away days and what have you, our go-to pub is generally the Artisan. Gavin, have you got any other recommendations around Easter Road for the away support?
You've got me there. I'm not a drinker, so I don't tend to go to the pub before or after a game. I work at the club, so I have to be completely compos mentis. I can't. I'm the guy you see that if I had a few beers, I could then put things on the screens and I could put things out on the PA. So it's best that I don't have it. And you know me, after a couple of Guinnesses, I'm a little bit out of control.
A couple of night outs with you, Gavin. Yes, one or two. But yeah, if you're looking for a pub, Falkirk Daft Lot will be, and Ross will be. I'm missing the game on Saturday, but Ross will be in the Artisan. If you're looking for Ross, he'll be in there, and it's a good pub to visit before heading down to Easter Road. Before
I'd sorted you out with a comfy chair and a blanket as well for you. I'd all arranged for you.
Oh, that would have been nice.
I'm not going to lie and tell you. I had a VIP meal set up for you as well. I was going to get you. Pat Stanton was going to come down and sit with you and tell you stories, you know, of the past and tell you all the glory days of Easter Road and all the things he would tell you all about George Best and what it was like having him around. You would have loved it, John. It's a shame you can't come. I had that all arranged for you and everything.
Ah, damn it. Well, the bad news is the last three league games between the sides have all ended up in 0-0. 0-0 last time we were at Easter Road. The last two times we've been at Easter Road has been 0-0. The last time we won at Easter, well, we didn't win at Easter Road. Last time we got a decent result at Easter Road was the Bob McHugh last minute. But looking down, actually, this is ridiculous. 25th of March, 2017, 0-0. 12th of November, 2016, 0-0. Saturday the 16th, 2016, 0-0. So hopefully there'll be a bit more goals this time at Easter Road, but we will wait and see. It could be a tight game, but we know, you know, Hibs have got a mistake in them. Falkirk, you know,
yes.
The way we are attacking at the moment, we might get, hopefully see some goals. And Hibs obviously threaten up front but they've got a very potent front line as well. So
Have we? That's the difficulty at the moment. You say that. We've got potentially potent. You know, I think Kieran Bowie just needs to find a groove. What it feels like, I'm no expert, but what it feels like to me is that he's going through what Shanklin went through last season.
Yeah.
Shanklin, for some reason, seemed to be hovering around the halfway line last season on too many occasions. And, you know, his goal count was low, much lower last season, wasn't it? Remember that?
Yeah.
And that's where I see Bowie coming deep for the ball. He tries to hold the ball. I think referees, he's getting climbed on, right? It's ridiculous. He is getting climbed on every time he's on the ball. And I think referees are sort of in that. And it's the same with Martin Boyle as well, actually. I think they've got a bit of a reputation with referees now that when they go down quite easily. And Bowie, you know, will often be genuinely fouled. But referees are just like, oh, you're just collapsing. You're doing what you're doing, and I think he's got himself into a bit of a rut with that. I don't know. I'm no expert, but I want to see him. I feel like it's similar to Shanklin last season. I want to see Bowie in the box. I want to see him.
Yeah.
You know, I want to see somebody else taking the ball at halfway line, and Bowie being where he can do the damage. You know what I mean? I know he's strong on the ball and he's a bit of a kind of, you know, he's able to hold it, but I tend to find that it's not working for him. Boyle needs to find a little bit of form in a groove as well, so that's there. Cleagy, well, you tell me what you've got probably as much idea of what's going on with Cleagy as I have. You know, record
very,
signing,
very hot and cold, doesn't he?
Scored a great goal at Pittodrie. Don't underestimate how great that finish was.
Very good at Pittodrie as well.
Yeah, so. And it was a great finish. It was a difficult finish as well, and he put it away beautifully. So there's no doubt. There's definitely something there. The consistent players for you to watch out for: Mulligan, Josh Mulligan for me. I'd be surprised if somebody nicks him in January, if there's something comes in, maybe too soon, but I certainly think there'll be a lot of people watching him and thinking, right, okay, summer next year, we'll swoop, we'll see where things are. He looks pretty good. I wouldn't blame him for looking for something else. He must, in the back of his mind, be thinking about next summer with the squad. I think he'd be worthwhile to be taken out to the World Cup.
Yeah.
Because he's versatile, not just because of his ability, but also his versatility.
Play
at wing back. Definitely more effective in the middle. McGrath has shown a lot of class as well, and I think he's brought quite a bit to the squad. So I think he's one for you to watch as well. He's not taking the penalties anymore though. But that was that. You know, I was screaming when Boyle took the penalty against Celtic. I thought Schmeichel's going to commit. I know what he'll do. And I was screaming at Boyle, stick it down the middle, stick it down the middle. And Schmeichel didn't move. I was like, thank God for you listening to me. Schmeichel just stood. He obviously expected him to put it down the middle. Or he was just too tired to dive. I don't know. He's had a hard time, Schmeichel. He's getting on a bit. I don't think it's going to be a 0-0. I don't think there's any chance of it being a 0-0. I think you will come hungry. And I think you'll be confident after Ibrox, where I think you could have won, couldn't you?
Yeah, we certainly had our chances. Could have sneaked it at the end. It was a good defensive performance. We discussed in Monday's review show there. Bit guilty of giving possession away. Bit lacklustre in the final third. But fingers crossed we turn that around against Hibs. Gavin, what is the score going to be?
Oh, good grief. Well, realistically, I wouldn't be surprised if it's a draw. I'd be disappointed, frustrated. I think it would be a really bad time to get a draw. But I'll tell you what, I'm also fearful of a defeat. So I would like us to win comfortably for the sake of just settling the nerves. A 2 or 3-0 would be something that would be... I would be over the moon with a 2 or 3-0.
Yeah.
I would take a 1-0 because this isn't going to be easy and you guys are definitely on a bit of a roll. But realistically, I could see it being a 1-1. I don't think it'd be a 0-0. It might even be a 2-2.
A wee Desmond,
sadly. And I hope I'm wrong. But I think 2-2 is realistic. Yeah, well, why not? I think if you guys have got to fancy it. That's it. You're on a roll.
We'll see what happens come Saturday. Gavin, thank you as ever for joining me on Falkirk Daft. You're lucky you're not getting to have to do the quiz. You did it the last time and you did well the last time. You're currently sitting on 5 points, but you're kind of mid-table at the moment. So next time we get you on, hopefully we'll get you back on the quiz and see if you can better your 5 points.
I think mid-table is where I belong. Sort of that.
The high-vies, mid-table with the high-vies.
Mid-table with the high-vies is about right, isn't it? Yeah.
Clyde 1, 4th 1, across Scotland. You can hear him on a Sunday morning and you will see him pushing the buttons on the board at Easter Road on Saturdays. Gavin Pearson.
Glory, glory.
So there you go. That's what Gav's thoughts ahead of the weekend. Ross, what are you thinking? What do you think the result's going to be come Saturday?
I'm going to predict... So I went with like a mad 3-2 to Falkirk against Motherwell and it was a 0-0. So I'm going to go 1-0 Falkirk in the expectation that there could be more goals. So I'm going to give 1-0 Falkirk. What do you think?
Who's going to start is the question. Never mind. Who's going to be? I think he'll go back to old familiar.
I think so.
If there was anyone from Hibs watching that game last night, they're going, what the fuck's going on?
If there was anyone in from Hibs last night, they have learned fuck all.
Yeah, exactly. I think there'll be changes around. It depends if Keelan's fit. He might stick with Lisa in that middle.
Maybe. Yeah.
He might just stick there. But I do think it'll be Tate and Spencer or might bring Carrad. We'll wait and see what he does on Saturday. But yeah, I've predicted draws the last few results. So I'm going to go for a Falkirk win. Fuck it. Why not? 1-0.
It's Christmas. Fuck it, it's Christmas.
It's Christmas. We'll go for a 1-0 Falkirk, I think. We'll take that. So there we go. We'll see what happens come Saturday. And that is it for a very strange Falkirk Daft. We'll be back to hopefully normal service. The games are all over the place. It's Christmas time. You know, we're all over the place here. But hopefully we'll be back with another episode on Monday and then preview Thursday. And we'll get back into our rhythm with any luck. Before we go, just got to mention, keep an eye on our socials. It'll be up probably by the time you hear this podcast. But we do have tickets for Scott Arfield and Russell Lattipy night, which is happening February 28th at the Inshira. So keep your eyes out. It's a like and share thing. So if you want tickets for that, a pair of tickets for that, we will get that on our socials and you can win a pair of tickets. And we might have some news about that next week. We will wait and see. But then you go. Keep an eye out for that. So on our socials, thank you for listening. Thank you for watching. On to Easter Road now, and hopefully 3 points for the Bairns. And until that time,
expect unexpectedly. More than Bairns.
What folk are that? What folk are that? Talking talking about the dark blues and having a bit of a laugh. We're folk of Daft, we're folk of Daft. You can listen in the pub or you can listen in the bath. We're folk of Daft, we're folk of Daft. For everyone who's kidding about being a folk of beer, we're folk of Daft. We are folk of Daft.